T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. It is Friday, a football Friday, so we're going to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Happy Football Friday, Mike. Always good to speak to you.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mike, we're doing great. Are you kidding me? We haven't won 5 straight in a long time, going for the 6th straight win down here. So what are your thoughts on Coach Flores and the team concept and what he's getting out of everybody, offense, defense, and special teams over this last month or so?
We were trying to think earlier this week of when a team has turned itself around as dramatically as the Dolphins have. And the only team that quickly came to mind was the 1999 St. Louis Rams, a.k.a. the greatest show-offs on turf. They were 4-12, and Dick Vermeil was on his way out, and they signed Trent Green to play quarterback, and he tore an ACL in the preseason, and in comes this grocery bagger that nobody had ever heard of in Kurt Warner, and somehow they go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. Not that the Dolphins are destined for the Super Bowl, but when you consider the shape they were in last year, the first half of the season, and what they've done since then, it's remarkable. And it's hard not to root for it. And I admire what Coach Flores has done. I also admire the fact that he's one of the few Bill Belichick assistants who has managed to not try to be just like Bill Belichick, consciously or not. You know, if you're in that nest for 15 years, it's difficult to not become Bill Belichick in some way or behave like him in some way, even if that's not how you are.
Right.
Flores is true to who he is. And he's not trying to be anyone other than who he is, even though he was with Belichick for all those years when the Patriots were thriving and he was learning how to do it the way that Belichick does it. So I'm impressed by the authenticity. I'm impressed by the success, and anxious to see how it plays out this season for the team.
Mike, regarding Flores, I know there's a certain coach in Pittsburgh who's undefeated right now, but where does Flores kind of sit right now, possibly in Coach of the Year rankings?
Well, Coach of the Year is always determined by the extent to which a coach exceeds whatever the generally accepted expectations were going into the season. And that's always kind of a loose gut feeling. What did we expect the Dolphins to be? What did we expect the Steelers to be? Now, look, if the Steelers finish 16-0, Tomlin's going to get all 50 Coach of the Year votes. Right, like Bill Belichick did in 2007. That's such a rare feat. You have to get it if you finish there. But let's say the Steelers go 13-3, which would mean going 6-3 down the stretch, which seems inconceivable at this point, given that they're 9-0. But they're not even 6-3. What would it be? What's not 4-3? Even harder to imagine.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing to think how good they are right now and what 9-0 means to your long term full season record. But let's just say they go 14-2, right? Let's say they go 5-2 down the stretch, and the Dolphins win the division. I think Flores is the Coach of the Year. If the Dolphins win the division and the Steelers don't go undefeated, I think Flores is the Coach of the Year. To finally put a button on the point that I am struggling to try to articulate, that would be my assessment of Coach of the Year.
I thought you were counting in playoffs games and stuff there. I was just gonna let you go. Hey, Mike, real quickly, Jets 0-16. Or Steelers 16-0? What's got a better chance of happening?
Probably Jets 0-16, because if they don't beat the Chargers this week, I think that's it. That's that. 2 weeks to get ready. The Chargers, a team that always finds a way to shoot itself in the foot. and Adam Gase and company, the way they played against the Patriots the last time we saw them, that gives me hope that they can maybe find a way to overcome the Chargers. And also, how can Justin Herbert win a football game with that haircut? Have you seen the haircut?
Yeah.
Brian Flores gave him that haircut, didn't he? That's what it looked like.
River Phoenix in Stand By Me. Hey, guys, do you want to go see a dead body?
Right, right. Jeez. What happened? He had such nice hair, too. What happened?
Oh, man, he lost the
bet. I think it was a little delayed hazing. I think it was a little hazing.
Well, I hope he scored big points with his teammates, because – that's a bad look to be in L.A. with that, whatever he did to himself. That's just, that's bad. Hey, Mike, real quickly, this is Antonio Brown. Bring it right back down here to South Florida. Incident before he signed with Tampa Bay, and now I see his head coach is getting tired of talking about it and people asking about it. What, the league do anything, or is he good to go? Do they talk to him, or are they just, like, tired of this, just let him finish out the season?
Well, the way the league has constructed the personal conduct policy, it can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, however it wants. So we don't know what the league wants to do. If the league wants to throw the book at Antonio Brown, it can, for a couple of reasons. It's a new incident. It's a fresh incident. They can investigate it, and they can come to the conclusion that he's violated the personal conduct policy again, and they can suspend him. They also can say, if the report from NFL Media, which is owned and operated by the NFL, is accurate, that the league didn't even know about this until it first surfaced in the Miami Herald earlier this week, they could discipline Antonio Brown for failing to report an incident. Even if you're not arrested, the way that the policy is written, the duty to report is very broad. And my guess is, I don't know this, but my guess is at some point someone from the NFL said to Antonio Brown, if anything else happens, you better let us know. And now there's a question as to what the Bucs knew and when they knew it. And that was where the press conference kind of went off the rails a little bit yesterday for Bruce Arians. Not that it went off the rails to the point where he had hair dye running down his face, but it still went off the rails a little bit where he refused to talk about Antonio Brown. Look, Arians says they knew about the October 15 incident when they signed him. The statement the team issued after the report surfaced does not make that point. It says we are aware, not that we were aware. And if the Buccaneers were aware and they didn't inform the league, they have a separate problem. I don't know. I think the motivation right now by the NFL is the hell with all this extraneous crap. We have to get the games in before COVID-19 shuts us down. So my guess is they're not going to mess around with it. But I'm pressing the league. You know, here's how the league deals with me. If I ask them a question that they're happy to answer, they immediately answer it. If I ask them a question that they don't want to answer, they ignore me. And they forced me to ask the question again. Well, this morning I asked the question again, and I've marked my notes to ask again this afternoon if they continue to not answer me. I want to know what the league knew and when they knew it, what the Bucs knew and when they knew it, and whether or not the Buccaneers made the report. Because if you're going to have this policy and you're going to enforce it fairly and consistently, you can't just enforce it whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I agree with you. They just, with COVID-19, Mike, that's exact my thoughts. Like, the last thing they want to deal with right now is this whole thing and whatever went into his little private development where he's had nothing but problems down here in Hollywood. So you're probably right. Hey, Zach and I were talking, speaking of Zach, this Zach Wilson thing from BYU. Mike, where'd this guy till a few weeks ago? And now, like, these mock drafts got him at the top of the board. Like, where'd the guy come from? Like, how did this and when did this happen?
Well, I don't know, and I haven't been paying any attention to college football this year because there's so many games that are canceled and the season starts late, and it just doesn't feel real to me. And I think this year has exposed, not that there was ever any doubt or that there shouldn't have been any doubt now, that it's just a money grab by the schools, and it becomes more and more problematic when you admit that because the players don't get paid. But I don't know. I mean, hey. The pre-draft BS apparently is starting earlier than usual. And there really will be a benefit in obfuscation this year if there's reduced film and scouts aren't going to know who to take and when to take them. You're going to have some busts that go a lot higher. And you also are going to have an opportunity for the people who know how to properly scout to get some great players later than they otherwise would have gotten them. So that's going to add layers of of intrigue to the draft when it happens in late April of 2021.
Mike, it worked for Teddy Bridgewater last year, Jameis Winston in New Orleans with a little tryout, and he's going to get a tryout for the next couple of games here as long as Drew Brees is out. What are you expecting to see from Jameis coming up these next couple of games? Do you think this will work for him too, getting a contract possibly going forward next year?
Well, I still don't know how much Jameis Winston we're going to see. There's an assumption that we're going to see him as the starter because he came in last week when Drew Brees got injured, but he was the backup for that game because Taysom Hill has the Taysom Hill package. He's not the number two quarterback for that game. He's the Taysom Hill first string option. When you look at the depth chart, last year Teddy Bridgewater was number two, and when Drew Brees got hurt, Teddy Bridgewater took over. This year Taysom Hill's number two. So I don't know what we're going to see, and Sean Payton has done a great job of keeping it quiet, of keeping everyone on board with not saying anything about who the starter is going to be or how the reps are going to be divided. I'm impressed by that because I think every time a coach tries that, and my recollection is it fails because someone says something to someone who says something to someone who says something to a media member who reports who the first string quarterback in practice was. We don't know, and I don't think we are going to know until Sunday. It could be both guys. It could be Winston. It could be Hill. But if it is Winston, you know, the last time we saw him as the starter in Tampa, it was against the Falcons, and he was throwing an interception in overtime that ended the season and ended his career there. He gets a chance against the Falcons to prove that he's learned how to iron out the mistakes and to get the most out of his abilities. And it makes a game that otherwise we just kind of like, eh, Saints-Falcons, eh. It's one of the more fascinating games of the weekend now.
Hey, Mike, are you a Hill fan? Because we all the old guys sit around talk about this guy because he plays recklessly. He's fun to watch. But there's no way this guy can stay healthy playing that way if he becomes a full-time quarterback. Would you agree with that?
Well, look, we hear all the time that, you know, quarterbacks need to avoid contact. And, you know, Tua's on the injury report this week. And I talked to him after the game on Sunday about how many hits he's taken. He says, I've already taken enough and I don't want any more. And Taysom Hill embraces that. He's got that bull in a china shop mentality. And look, I don't know if he can stay healthy, but I know that in the playoff game against the Vikings, he was the best player on the field for either team.
Yep.
And we've heard Sean Payton hype this guy as a potential Steve Young type of a player, which is incredible praise for a guy who's that unproven. Look at what they've paid him, $15 million guaranteed on a two-year contract. And that, the fact that he's not the no-brainer automatic starting option, it's odd to me. And it makes me wonder what Sean Payton's really up to, and it makes me wonder whether or not Sean Payton's really sold on Taysom Hill as the post-Drew Brees option. Maybe he's thinking, if I can get more out of Jameis Winston, he's the better candidate to take over the team than Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey,
well, Mike, you got another story to put on ProFootballTalk.com in the next couple of minutes. The Browns just came out and said Myles Garrett now on the reserve COVID-19 list. They just announced that
on
Twitter just now, as you were just making your statement. So that's another big name to make this list this week. Like you said, we heard this morning, Manny Diaz, the head coach of the University of Miami, announced it on Twitter as well, that he tested positive for COVID after his team had a scare over the weekend after their game, and now they've canceled games for a couple weeks. But, yeah, Myles Garrett, newest addition to the COVID-19 reserve.
More to come. There's no question about that.
Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind, too. You know, the NFL's approach is guys are going to get it, and our goal is to, you know, kind of draw a circle around them, remove their close contacts, and get those guys out of the building. That works as long as it's just one guy. But when it's two and three and four guys, and that's going to happen, especially after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is going to be a nightmare scenario once the dust settles because nobody's listening to the CDC guidance to not travel, and people are going to get together in these mini super spreader events. By the middle of December, it's going to really be a challenge for the NFL to keep this going because the NFL's approach doesn't work if you have five, six, seven guys in the building who are positive. You remove those guys and anyone who was in close contact, and you're not going to have anybody left.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Mike, wish me luck. I got the big family. Wish me luck. They're all here anyway. You take care of yourself. Thanks, Mike.
All right. See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.